Welcome into the KS Arto Kitchen. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. Good morning, Mr. Ash.
Chef.
I'm sorry. Chef. Yeah, John
that's
Ash.
Right, that's right.
I'm sorry.
Good morning.
You weren't wearing your toque, so yeah. I wasn't sure. Yeah. 31 years and counting. Our little program began in October 1987, and here we are, these many years later, still meeting really fantastic cooks and authors and winemakers and beer makers and farmers.
So let me ask you a question. Don't you think over that time, books have gotten a lot better?
Well, here's an example. Of that statement. She's smiling because she's glad we said that. Jessica Batalana's new book is called Repertoire, All the Recipes You Need. Thanks for coming up from San Francisco to visit us today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is your first solo effort, is it not?
It is. It's my first solo effort. I co-authored 5 chef cookbooks before doing this, but I always had the idea of doing my own book sort of in the back of my mind. So it's a dream realized to finally have it out there.
This is great. Congratulations. The book just came out a couple months ago or so.
April 3rd, yeah.
And the Chronicle did quite a beautiful spread. Of course, you write for the San Francisco Chronicle. Your column is called Repertoire, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. So I write twice a month.
I'm holding this up so the listeners
hold it up
see
so
this.
People can see it. Yeah.
See, the 2 full pages. And they did quite a nice spread on the book.
It's beautiful, yeah. They ran 3 recipes from the book in that section. And then I do original recipes for the column twice a month, but they all sort of share the same ethos. There's no repeats between what's in the book and what's in the column, but they're all really durable, interesting, and delicious food for home cooks.
Well, it's you take great pride in promoting this book as a cook's book for the home cook. This is not restaurant chefs that have reimagined these recipes so they'll work in the home kitchen.
No, and I think in some ways I wrote the book as a kind of, as an antidote to all of the chef books that I had worked on. You know, it was always sort of my job in those collaborations to be waving the flag of the home cook and saying, like, nobody has a chinois. Nobody wants to spend 72 hours, doing this. And so when I set out to create the recipes for Repertoire, I really had the home cook in mind. Like, what can you get at a regular grocery store? How much time are you really willing to dedicate? But also, like, can you do that and not compromise? Can you still eat delicious food in, sort of real life? And for me, real life involves 2 small children. I have 2 6- and 4-year-old boys. And so I'm very sort of attuned to the challenges that people face just getting dinner on the table.
So can I read something to you that you wrote? Which I really love about the book, and I think it talks to the whole idea of what repertoire means. And you said, the truth is that home cooks don't need hundreds of recipes in their arsenals. A few dozen good ones and the knowledge and freedom that cooking them frequently gives you all you really need, which I think is really good. I think there is this intimidation that, I need to know about everything, and I need to know about every culture and the exotic ingredients in those cultures, and then that people end up not cooking.
Yeah, it's like analysis paralysis. You end up not. And I think, I really walk the talk at home. I've been telling people that if they came to my house for dinner tomorrow, I would cook them something from Repertoire, not because I have a new book that I am, promoting, but because it's really what we cook and eat at home all the time. And I really believe in those repeats. And I think the more that you repeat a recipe, the quicker you become at making it, the more that you can kind of riff on it. And then even when you're shopping, you sort of know the ingredients that go into it, and it makes it more fun, I think, and it makes it feel more freeing. So I feel like sort of drilling in on a dozen recipes is a great way for a home cook to kind of expand their game.
So if John and I came to your house in San Francisco, could we actually get what's on the cover of this book? Look, could we get a couple Negronis and potato chips?
Definitely, yes.
So there's one alcoholic recipe in the entire book.
That's true. It's funny because I can remember lots of recipes for food, by heart, but I have a very difficult time remembering cocktail recipes. So a Negroni is a go-to, not only because I think it's a delicious drink, but also because it only has 3 ingredients, which is all I can remember.
You can't go too wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us a little bit about how you got here. I know in the book you talk a little bit about kind of entering into the cooking world and went to La Varenne and in Paris, or not in Paris,
in Burgundy.
In Burgundy, yeah.
Well, I grew up in a family that was really food obsessed. My mom is a great cook. My aunts are great cooks. We're a family that really appreciates sort of the power of food as a means to gather people together. So we ate together every night growing up. My mom fed our family of five. And I grew up in rural Vermont. So, you know, going out to eat, takeout was not really an option. So I credit my mother with giving me that sort of initial love of food. And then I went to Mount Holyoke and I got a history degree, which I haven't really put to extraordinary use. Sorry, Mount Holyoke. But I was always cooking. Even, you know, during my college days, I would cook for the art department openings. And I had a subscription to Gourmet magazine. And then when I graduated, I worked in a specialty food shop outside of Boston and just kind of kept at it. You know, I worked as a cheesemonger. I worked as a private chef. I worked as a caterer. And then started to add in the writing little by little. I think, you know, when you're a fledgling writer, you need like 1,000 other, you know, day jobs. And so I did all of those. And then I left for a spell to work, as you said, at La Varenne in Burgundy, France. And came back and decided about 15 years ago to move out west and moved out here. And I was broke and I had no connections. And I thought I was just going to start, you know, writing about food full time out here. And that, of course, did not work out. And a friend of mine was working at Chez Panisse. And she said, you should come work. They're hiring. I was like, great. So I go over it. But what they were hiring for was a job as a reservationist in the office, which I always say is the worst job in the best place. And so I worked there for a year. But it ended up actually being a really important job for me because I got connected to this whole network of people that loved food the way that I did on the West Coast. And I sort of lucked into a position after that at Sunset Magazine as an editorial assistant, which is basically an intern in the food department. That was probably 2006. They were still down in Menlo Park. Mm-hmm. And I had the great fortune to work with Margot True, who had formerly been the food editor at Gourmet and Saveur magazines. And she was just an amazing champion for me and really let me do things that, you know, interns don't normally get to do. I was developing recipes. I was writing stories for the magazine. And I spent a year there. And then took a job working for a city magazine, writing about chefs and restaurants. And then I worked for a digital media company doing more of the same. And around that time, Chef Charles Fan of The Slanted Door approached me. He had wanted to write his first cookbook and was looking for somebody to collaborate, somebody that could help him, you know, basically translate his restaurant recipes for home cooks. And so that started the, you know, collaborative part of my food writing career. And as I said, now I've done 5 books. And that sort of propelled me, I think, into writing, you know, about food really full time. And really just doing cookbooks and recipe development full time.
Wow. And you also worked with Tartine, didn't you?
I worked with Chad Robertson on his third bread book, Tartine Bread 3. Which was amazing. I worked with Anya Fernald, the CEO of Bel Campo, on her book. I worked with Ryan Farr on a sausage book. He's the proprietor of 4505 Meats. And then most recently, I just finished a book with an old friend of mine from my Boston days, Matt Jennings, who has a restaurant in Boston called Townsman. And we wrote a book together called Homegrown about New England food.
Matt was on the show.
Awesome. He's great. Terrific. He's great.
But now you're flying solo.
Now I'm flying solo.
And we want to mention that you are doing a cooking class tomorrow if you're in the San Francisco area at the San Francisco Cooking School, Sunday, May 20th from 10 to 2. And tickets to that event, which you're going to be demoing several dishes, are, do you think, still available?
There are some seats still available. I shouldn't say seats because it's a hands-on class.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and it's an awesome menu. It's pretzel rolls and flat roasted chicken and pavlova and beans and greens and a fattoush salad. So it's a real feast.
So it's a wine included also.
Oh, yeah, wine included.
So just go to their website, San Francisco Cooking School, to find out information.
And why not Negronis?
Oh!
Instead of the
Who knows? Anything could happen.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Jessica Batalana. Her new book is Repertoire, All the Recipes You Need. Now, that's a big statement. We'll have to ever prove that during the next 45 minutes. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KS Auto Kitchen.
Traffic on the fives and weather six times an hour, mornings on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
You've got skills, so why not make money with those skills? Can you mow a yard, clean a house, hang a flat-screen TV, haul off some junk? Well, check out Tackle.com. That's T-A-K-L.com. Tackle is an amazing new app that connects people who can perform small jobs and chores with customers who need them done. And the Tackle app is coming to cities all across America soon. Go to Tackle.com to see where Tackle is launching next. Just complete the six easy steps to register, and you can be your own boss, set your own hours, and make great money as a Tackle provider. The Tackle app is revolutionizing the way people get things done. Go to Tackle.com today and sign up. Stop thinking about making money doing what you love and start doing it with Tackle. Sign up to be a Tackle provider now at Tackle.com. Tackle.com. That's T-A-K-L.com.
With the summer holidays fast approaching, your backyard barbecues, outdoor celebrations, and patio parties are about to commence. Is your backyard ready? Here's Aaron with Sonoma Backyard to tell you how to make your backyard space a favorite place.
Right now, we have two great offers to get you and your backyard celebration ready. You'll save 15% off all in-stock patio and on our spa's 36 months zero interest on approval of credit. With over 10,000 square feet of showroom and dozens of different styles of patio furniture, 20 different spas and swim spas all on display, you're sure to find what you're looking for at great savings. We can even help you with the design. What's even better? Most everything's in stock, so it can go home with you today to be entertaining this weekend.
Sonoma Backyard, your one-stop backyard transformation shop with 15% off all in-stock patio and 36 months interest-free financing on spas right now. Just off 101 on Redwood Drive in Cotati, or go to SonomaBackyard.com. Sonoma Backyard, entertaining your backyard dreams.
A Wendy's Frosty is something special. And for a limited time, a Frosty is just 50 cents. An American classic for a classic price. It's not quite a milkshake, not quite an ice cream cone. It's definitely chocolate or vanilla. That choice is on you. Use a spoon or a French fry. Anything goes. A Frosty makes summer special. Yep, there's nothing quite like a Frosty. And there's nothing quite like this deal. A Frosty for 50 cents. Get yours before this deal melts away.
Small Frosty only at participating Wendy's for a limited time. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
811 is a free service to keep our community safe. Before you do any project, big or small, PG&E will come out and mark your gas and electric lines so you don't hit them when you dig. Call 811 before you dig and make sure that you and your neighbors are safe.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
So we want to jump into Jessica Batalana's new book, Repertoire, All the Recipes You Need. Growing up in Vermont, you have strong opinions because you're a Vermonter. All the people, everyone I know from Vermont, I went to school in Boston and New Hampshire, you could manipulate people pretty easy, but Vermonters were very steadfast in their beliefs about how things should be done. Did you have a favorite sugaring place where you and the family went and traditions like that?
Gosh, I'm so glad that you asked me that because I do. It's the Richardson family farm. And I actually went to preschool with Reed Richardson, of course. And it's a family-run operation. They've owned the land there for 100 years. And one of my most beloved childhood rituals was, you know, on a spring night, you know, March, early April, still kind of getting dark early. You know, but the days are warm and the nights are cold and the sap is starting to run. We would take our old Pontiac station wagon out to the Richardsons. And, you know, the road, dirt road, is all rutted out. And we would arrive there just after dark. And they, you know, they sugar round the clock when the sap is running. And they still power their evaporator with split logs. So they have, you know, the sparks flying from the smokestack, and you go in and the air is all sort of like humid and sweet smelling. And so we would hang out and watch the sap be cooked into syrup. And then they would give us like a little enamel cup, you know, half filled with syrup to drink, you know, after the visit. You know, it was just me and my brother and sister and my parents. It wasn't like a big tourist operation. And man, that memory still to this day is like one of my strongest food memories. And I also remember Reed's father, who ran the operation when we were kids, you know, I would see him there and he would be having pancakes for dinner with this fresh syrup. And, you know, as a kid, when grownups do things that are like out of character like that, I remember just thinking like, what is happening? Like,
God, this guy's a god. Yeah. He's having pancakes for dinner.
Yeah.
Do your boys have a taste for maple syrup? Do you cook with it? Do you use it?
I do. Yes. And I'm pretty dogmatic about syrup. Like I bring my own syrup with me to breakfast places because I don't.
John, remember that?
Yeah.
There was a restaurant. Tell them that story.
Yeah. I'm a diehard, so I carry it in my bag if I know, because I won't order pancakes or waffles if I can't get real syrup. And there is a recipe in the book for a blueberry cornmeal upside down cake.
That's right.
That is made, the blueberry layer is blueberries cooked in maple syrup. And that actually, my dad is, you know, for as good a cook as my mom is, my dad is an equally, well, I shouldn't say he is perfectly capable, but he just, you know, my mom loved to cook so much that my dad never did cook. And on the occasions when my mom would be out of town or sick, one of the things that my father would make for us was leftover cornbread that he would toast in the oven and then, you know, dollop a lot of butter on and then just drown in maple syrup.
That's my kind of cooking.
I know. And so this cake is, you know, just a slightly elevated version. But when I taste it, it tastes very much like that. That memory of those breakfasts.
Do you order your maple syrup from Vermont?
Mom sends it to me from the Richardson.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, I know.
That's very charming. And restaurants don't object. You bring, like, you know, usually there's a corkage fee, but you can bring in.
I never ask. I don't ask for permission, right? I just.
That's great. Do you want to jump into the book?
Yeah.
We sure there's a lot to cover.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say there's a little section in the very beginning in which you talk about ingredients. And, you're pretty tough. You know, it's like, you know, use the real stuff or get out.
Yeah, I mean, there's not so much. I mean, I think there's lots of room for flexibility in these recipes. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, some stuff is important. And actually, that was my whole approach to the book, was like, when it matters, I'm going to tell you it matters and I'm going to tell you why. And when it doesn't, I'm going to give you a pass to make a substitution or, you know. So I feel like I want readers to be able to trust me, like, when I say it's worth it, it's worth it. And when I say not to bother, like, don't bother, you know?
You did that throughout the book with a lot of recipes. And, you know, it's okay to use Best Foods mayonnaise. It's, you know, yes, you can make it yourself if you need to, but it's a perfectly fine product.
So. I was telling somebody recently that my new thought about cooking is just lean out. You know, like, how much can we lean out and still have a delicious dinner? And I think, you know, my friend Samin wrote this lovely story in the New York Times about the green goddess dressing for the greenest green
salad.
And that's
the first recipe in the
book. That's the first recipe in the book. And she said, you know, when I first saw your book and I saw the first recipe and the first ingredient is Hellman's, you know, Best Foods mayonnaise, I thought, oh, like, I know what kind of book this is going to be. And then she said, but then, you know, I read the recipe and I made your green goddess and it was so delicious and it was so much easier than mine that starts with aioli and like 18 bowls and, you know. And I was like, yes, I mean, it's all about, you know, leaning out. Like, you can still get this great result. And there is a homemade aioli recipe in the book because sometimes it does matter. But, you know, for a salad dressing, no, it doesn't. And she said in the article, and I thought this was such a nice way to put it, like, the choice in my house is not, like, are we going to make our green goddess dressing with, you know, homemade aioli or not? It's like, are we going to make dinner from scratch, or are we going to get a takeout or go out to eat? So I think, you know, as a working parent of two little kids, like that conversation about, you know, food and dinner kind of changes a little bit.
I like that you wrote, I'd hate to live in a world where ranch dressing is more popular than Green Goddess.
I know.
Dressing.
I don't even like ranch dressing.
It was a great first recipe. And then you get in, actually some of these are in your demo tomorrow at the cooking school, the fattoush salad. For those who don't know, what is fattoush salad?
So the fattoush salad in the book is, it's a combination of crispy vegetables. In this case, it's cucumbers, it's radishes. It's packed with herbs. It has dill and mint. And then what I think makes the salad like really particularly addictive is it has these lavash croutons. So it's lavash flatbread that you crisp up in the oven, then crumble in. So the salad has this like lovely sort of thirst quenching quality from the herbs and the vegetables. And then you get that like richness from these crispy croutons, and it has a little bit of feta in it. And that's a recipe that I learned from my friend, Sam O'Ganim, who's the owner of the Byright Markets. Yeah.
Wonderful. Asparagus season's in full bloom.
I know. And you have one of my favorite sauces in the world, which is kind of a, it's kind of an old war horse that has disappeared. I mean, people don't know about it, and that's sauce grebiche.
Yes.
And what is sauce grebiche?
We're really hitting the mayonnaise thing hard here today. No, there's other stuff beyond mayonnaise. But grebiche sauce is, again, it's a mayonnaise-based sauce and has hard-cooked eggs in it and capers and cornichons. So it's like a delicious sort of pickly condiment. And it's good on asparagus. It's good on roast beef, it's good on potatoes, it's good on sandwiches, it's good on fish. So it's, you know, with all of the sauces in the book, you know, there's a salsa verde, there's a salsa rustica, there's harissa. The idea is that, you know, you might make it for the one recipe where I suggest it, but then I've tried to give, you know, suggestions for other places that you can use these sauces so that, you know, you can transform perfectly ordinary, you know, cuts of meat or sandwiches or leftovers with a little dab of harissa or a bright salsa. And so those are things that I try and have in my fridge, you know, often.
You talked about making aioli. A lot of people have tried, failed, and given up on making homemade aioli. What's the secret?
I have also tried and failed in the past. so I'm sympathetic. I now, you know, you read these recipes and they say like, well, add the oil in a thin stream. Well, then that's all well and good if you've made aioli before and you know like what's happening. But what I do is I put the oil into a measuring cup, and then I tilt it just so that actually like one drop is on the, like, you know, the spout of the measuring
cup.
Not two, just one. And I really do like drop by drop, which is tedious at first, you know. And once you get that emulsion established and it starts to thicken up, like then you can sort of, you know, then you can go thin stream. But I think you really, when I say drop by drop, I really mean drop by drop.
I think you even said it'd be good to enlist a friend the first time.
I say it's like rubbing, you know, patting your head and rubbing your tummy at the same time.
That's very funny, but that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because most cookbook recipes do say slow stream.
Well, and if you do that, then you're done.
You're done.
It'll never come together.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think it's all like aioli is really made in the first 5 seconds.
That's good. That should have been in the book.
No, dang.
And other recipes in there, anything that caught your eye? I have a number of ones that were starred.
Can I say the photography is really fabulous? It's not overstyled, and it's about the food.
It's about the food. I made one call to one photographer who I wanted to work with, Ed Anderson, who lives actually up here in Petaluma, and he shot a number of cookbooks, and is just like the mellow, coolest dude ever. And I asked him if he wanted to do the book, and he's like, yeah, sure, you know, in Ed Anderson style. And then, you know, the whole thing is that these are real recipes for real life that really work. So I didn't hire a prop stylist. I didn't hire a food stylist. Ed didn't have any assistants. We didn't like shoot with crazy lights in a studio. Basically, I cooked the food. I put it on a plate that either I or Ed owned. And then we took a picture of it.
And the book reflects your personality. It's so down to earth and get to the point and let's get rid of all the extraneous.
Well, and I just felt like if I was making a promise to people like that these recipes work and that these recipes will look this way when you make them, like I wasn't going to like have somebody else like make it look a different way. So if you make any of the recipes in the book, they will look like those pictures. Like, and that was important to me.
I thought it was really interesting. You seem to be fascinated with the applications of rye. in various areas. Like the Gougere, you add a little rye flour. It gives a different flavor and texture.
It adds a little bit of nuttiness. I think I use it in the Gougeres and I use it in the calzone dough. And I like that flavor in both of those applications. It's also, I say in the book, like all-purpose flour, if you don't have rye flour, if you don't want to make a special trip, like both of those recipes work just fine with regular old all-purpose flour too.
So we're talking about this section, which I love that you titled the section Ways to Start, which is a kind of a great way to think about it rather than the, obscure hors d'oeuvre and what is an hors d'oeuvre?
I don't know about your house, but like on a weeknight, we are not like rolling with hors d'oeuvres.
The pretzel is one of the dishes you're doing, the pretzel dish.
Yes, I'm going to do the pretzel rolls.
Are you going to use lye?
I'm going to use lye.
You're not?
I am. I'm going to use lye in the pretzels. And I give a couple options, either to do them traditional German style with a lye bath, or with a baking soda bath. But I got to say, they taste like real pretzels if you make them with lye. Although I did promise Jody Liano, the head of San Francisco Cooking School, that I wouldn't endanger the students by making them deal with lye.
But you'll have your goggles.
Yeah, I'll have my goggles and my gloves on.
Yeah,
that'll be great. We'll continue on with the ways to start. Then we'll jump into the mains courses. And, of course, we'll close up with desserts.
We have two more starters
we
courses
do?
To talk about.
We will tackle those starters when we return. The new book is Repertoire, R-E-P-E-R-T-O-I. That's a tough one. R-E-P-E-R-T-O-I-R-E. I think I could spell it in a spelling bee. By Jessica Batalana. She's visiting us from San Francisco. The book is subtitled All the Recipes You Need. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
FM News Talk Radio. North County 103.5. South County 94.5. KSRO.
Do you turn on the kitchen faucet expecting every faucet in the home to turn on? How about one light switch and all the lights come on? Of course not. So why heat and cool your entire home when you want to be comfortable in just one or two rooms at a time?
Paul Bigham with 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. We don't just repair or replace your existing system. We use the newest in technology like ductless, zoned heating and cooling systems for single rooms, multiple rooms, or your entire home. Zoned heating and cooling solutions that reduce your energy bill and increase your home's comfort. With rebates, incentives, and our exceptional payment plans, your savings could really add up.
Don't need an upgrade just yet? Call Bigham's 1 Hour for a comprehensive tune-up for just $49. 27 years. Local. Reliable. Bigham's 1 Hour. Call 844-5-TUNE-UP or log on to 844-5-TUNE-UP.com. 844-5-TUNE-UP.com.
You've always wanted the perfect space outside for your family. But who do you call? Since 1984, Sonoma County Sunrooms has been providing outdoor improvements for families to enjoy their backyards all year long. You may be thinking,
how much will it cost? How long will it take? How can I afford something like that?
Well, now may be the right time to increase value while adding usable space. With a monthly payment option, your outdoor room is closer than you think.
Hi, I'm David with Sonoma County Sunrooms, your authorized Four Seasons Sunrooms dealer right here in Santa Rosa. Our sunrooms, patio covers, and retractable awnings create the perfect place for your backyard recreation. If you're in the market for home improvements, considering expansion on your new build or existing home, call Soco Sun today and schedule a design consultation to find out the best options for you.
Sonoma County Sunrooms, your full-service design center located on Santa Rosa Avenue. Online at SocoSun.com. Sonoma County Sunrooms. Design, installations, remodeling.
Summer is just around the corner, which means it's time to head in to your local Friedman's Home Improvement store for everything you need to get it done. With all your project supplies on sale now through May 20th, plant it with beautiful heirloom vegetables and herbs, 25% off, and savings on potting soil, fertilizer, irrigation, and more. It's time to get your backyard barbecue ready. Paint it. Take advantage of big savings on Kelly Moore interior and exterior paint and give your home a fresh new look at affordable prices. Stain it with Penafin. Did you know Penafin is a local family-owned business in Ukiah? Refresh your deck with their stain and sealer products on sale now. All of this and more can be seen in-store and online at friedmanshome.com. Whatever your project is, get it done with your local Friedman's Home Improvement in Santa Rosa, Petaluma, Sonoma, and Ukiah. Friedman's Home Improvement. You're free to build. While supplies last, see store for details.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Some clouds today interrupting a rather clear weekend, topping out at 74, 59 on the coast, mostly clear tonight, low 49, 50 on the shores, mostly sunny for Sunday at 75, 59 in Bodega Bay, Monday blue skies at 77, 63 on the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. Some delicious talk conversation today with Jessica Badalana. Jessica's new book is Repertoire, All the Recipes You Need. She's visiting us from San Francisco today. Before we jump into the mains category, John had a couple of ways to start.
I didn't mean to step on your toes.
No, I enjoy it.
Well, there were two. One, because I've always had a problem with it. The Cheater's Tortilla Española, which is not tortilla, for those who are not familiar with it. It's really a kind of potato cake. And the typical recipe has you put the potatoes and the eggs and blah, blah, blah. It's really a simple recipe. And then wants you to turn it out onto a plate and then slide it back into the pan. And every time I do it, it's really cute the way you describe it there about spilling it all over the top of the stove and you smell burned eggs for the next few days.
But it's always been done that way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's traditional, right?
And you said never again.
Well, I just thought, like, I'm not Spanish. I'm not beholden by any mother-in-law's recipe or anything. So I, you know, was like, well, what will I love that. I mean, it's delicious. Eggs and potato, which are, you know, two of my desert island foods. So what was holding me back from making it all the time was, like, as you said, the, like, slide and flip. I mean, maybe I'm just, like, less coordinated than the average person. That's entirely possible. But I, you know, I sort of found that I got equally good results just, you know, cooking it until it was set on the bottom and then popping it under the broiler. I know, sacrilege. But I was telling you guys, you know, when we were off air that that the Washington Post excerpted this recipe. And then Jose Andreas, who is probably the most famous Spanish chef, saw, you know, my Cheater's Tortilla and tweeted a sort of, you know, emoji that indicated that perhaps he thought, you know, I was a total hack, which, you know, that's fair, but it makes a really good tortilla.
Ultimately, that's probably what most people listening care about. And the other one that you circled
are the twice baked souffles, which is something that I've sort of forgotten about it, but souffle making, as you point out in the book, people are intimidated by it. So what about?
Well, I love souffles. I love traditional souffles. And when I worked at La Varenne in Burgundy, you know, we would make them often, sweet and savory. But I learned from Anne Willen, who is the founder of the school, this amazing method for these twice-baked souffles. So you make a souffle in the traditional fashion, you know, egg yolks in the base, beat the egg whites, fold them together, put it in a ramekin, bake them. And that's the part where people are like, am I pulling? You're like, I want to pull it out at the right time. And then I want everyone to be sitting at the table so it doesn't deflate before I get there. And so you take them out of the oven and you just let them deflate. Oh. And then you pop them out of their ramekins into, you know, a baking dish. And you put a little cream around them and a little Parmesan cheese. And then you can bake them up to 24 hours later. And they'll puff just as much as the first time. And so it's like takes away the, like, you know, the fear and the palpitations. I just made those actually last night for dinner. It's one of our favorites.
On to the mains.
Yes.
Do you have a few? I have a few.
Yeah, go, you start.
Well, it's halibut season, pretty much, isn't it? And the halibut kebabs, I have circled that one.
Yeah.
You wrap them in the pancetta? No, what do you do?
I wrap the cubes of fish in pancetta, and then I thread them on skewers, you know, alternating the fish cubes with the bread. And so what happens when you grill them is that the pancetta fat renders out and it bastes the bread and the fish. So it keeps the nice, you know, because halibut can, you know, it can be dry.
Yeah.
So it bastes the fish. And also you get all of this crispy grilled bread, which I won't say it's the best part of it, but it's pretty good. Often if I have like a little bit of bread left over, you know, when I've alternated the fish bread, sometimes you have some spare bread cubes, and then I just make like a bread kebab, you know, and grill it outside, because I'm not going to waste any of that delicious bread.
I love the idea of a bread kebab.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard that before.
I think there's a new truck idea.
bread on a stick.
As a fellow eggplant parmesan devotee, thank you for giving permission to not suffocate that beautifully crisped eggplant in tomato sauce. I always, just like my chicken fried steak, I want the gravy on the side. Yeah. And for my eggplant, talk about that a bit.
Well, I also love the idea of eggplant parmesan. Like, I love the combination of tomatoes and crispy eggplant and cheese. You know, I'm only human, but I never understood. You know, it's you go through all the, you know, the effort to bread and fry these eggplant pieces until they're crispy, and then you just go layering them up between sauce and cheese so they get all soggy. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the point? You know, if you're gonna do that, you might as well just have slices of roast eggplant. So I do the eggplant slices and the sauce, and then, you know, I don't combine them. So on the plate, you know, I do the eggplant, the breaded crispy eggplant with a little cheese melted on top, and then like a bowl of sauce that people can sauce themselves. Yeah. Or not, you know. And those eggplant slices are also really good in a sandwich, you know, with pesto or mozzarella.
Do you salt the eggplant before to?
I don't usually. I think when I get, you know, I typically make this in the summer when it's eggplant season. You know, I know you can get eggplant year-round, and I think if you're using, you know, sort of out-of-season eggplant, you might want to salt it because they can be a little more bitter.
Okay.
But I find those summer varieties are not usually that bitter.
John, any in the main section? Yeah,
well, it was one of the things I found myself saying in cooking classes, never buy boneless, skinless chicken breasts. You know, they're completely tasteless and they dry out and all that stuff. And you've said, no, there's something you can do with it.
I mean, there's, you know, it's not the cut for, you know, for every purpose. But in the book, I pound them thin. I bread them with panko breadcrumbs and Parmesan. And then I sort of shallow fry them in a pan. And they're delicious. They're totally delicious. Yeah. It's like a uptown chicken finger.
Well, the other thing that you point out in here is you can do that. And you can do it ahead and freeze them.
Yes.
And then take them directly from the freezer. You don't have to defrost them.
Yeah, you can cook them from frozen. So when I do it, because, you know, the pounding can be, it takes time. And so I will pound them and bread them. And I'll do twice as much as we need, you know, for a single dinner and put half of them in the freezer. Mm. And for a while, those were the only ways that my kids would eat chicken. You know, my six-year-old was like, but is it crispy chicken?
Another one you're going to demo is the garlic butter chicken, the roasted chicken.
Yeah.
And salting, that's very important.
I think, one of my favorite cookbooks is the Zuni Cafe cookbook. God bless Judy Rogers. I think every recipe in that book starts with like, salt the whatever, like 40, you're already behind, you know, before you've started. But I do think salting chicken, I mean, salting most meat, but chicken, even, you know, if you can do it a few hours ahead, you'll get some of the benefits, but ideally overnight, because it draws some of the moisture out of the skin, so you get crispier skin. And that's also the method in the book. I cut the backbone out of the chicken, which is called spatchcocking, and I lay it flat, so you get like the broadest expanse of crispy skin. And it also, it cuts the roasting time down to like 45 minutes to an hour if you have like a 3-pound chicken. So you can actually make a roast chicken, you know, and all the side dishes and have dinner on the table, you know, in an hour.
And for a crowd, use two smaller ones instead of a big
Exactly. I don't like those big, you know, and I think sometimes you have to ask, because often, you know, you'll see the like behemoth birds out there. And I'm always like, find me the little one, or like find me the chicken breast that doesn't weigh 3/4 of a pound. Or
any other mains before we take a break?
Well, I love the idea of it. And it's the red chili braised beef. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting picture in the book, just because that's what it is. I mean, you make the point that you can add all kinds of things to it. You can turn it into the best chili you've ever had and all of that. But it's the simplest recipe to do.
It's really straightforward. And I think, you know, you make an investment of time in it, because it's a tougher cut of beef that you slow cook. But then it has all these possibilities. And that's another one you can throw in your freezer. But I didn't want to style it too much with... Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to sort of lead the witness. So it's like, there's the beef, as they used to say in that old Wendy's ad. And yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of things that you can do with it. And I suggest some of those in the book.
Just this tip that you gave, which I didn't know. You said you thought everybody knew this. Washing the pan with the flour in it and you add cold water before. Describe that, because it was news to me.
It was sort of news to me too. And then, you know, it's one of those things when you discover it, you're like, oh, well, sure, right. I should have thought of this sooner. But if you have dough in a bowl,
which I do,
and you go to wash out the bowl, you know, the instinct is like turn the hot water on and get the soap in it. And of course, like the hot water activates the gluten. And so you get that like disgusting web that coats your sponge, and then you're like, okay, I need a new sponge. So I don't know where I heard this tip, but like I first wash the bowl with cold water, so the dough comes right off, and then you know you can wash it with warm water after. But I know,
it was brilliant. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up with mains, and then we'll jet through the sweets section. And one of you will win an autographed copy of this brand new book, Jessica Batalana's Repertoire. All the recipes you need. It's the KS Arnold Good Food Hour with Steve Garner and Chef John Ash.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts at Nature's Spirit Garden and La Vida Buena Nursery. Savor farm-fresh eggs, delicious cheeses and produce, like fresh strawberries, avocados, hothouse tomatoes, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. The best choices for food vendors include Minhee Hill's authentic Korean cuisine and La Ta Indian cuisine. They've returned with their exotic dishes, and Eli's Kitchen provides fabulous homemade Mexican food. Santa Rosa's original certified farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa original certified farmers market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Hi, I'm Jeff Davis for Smothers European Volvo. As you heard and may have seen, Smothers European Volvo is renovating their showroom to provide a more modern, classy, efficient car buying experience. In other words, they're trying to match the luxury and style that Volvo automobiles have attained in recent years. Volvo cars are reaching new heights in technology and class. And the dealership remains open, and you can see firsthand the 2018 World Car of the Year, the Volvo XC60. Or maybe you'd like to test drive the Volvo.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
So before we tackle the sweet section in Jessica Batalana's new book, Repertoire, John Ash has to talk about his favorite dish.
Well, it's one of those that catches your eye, and that's hot dog fried rice.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Fried rice is a frequent dish in our house, and it's actually one of the few dishes where I can put whatever vegetables I want, like whatever's in the crisper drawer, and my children will eat all of it. And it's really, you know, it becomes a repository for leftovers, not just leftover rice, because often I will make rice with the express purpose of doing fried rice, but, you know, any little like bits and bobs of steak or chicken, or we always have hot dogs in our house, so in the book version I do hot dogs, but eggs and green onions and broccoli and carrots and whatever else you have kicking around in there, like in it goes. And I just think fried rice is one of the most satisfying meals. It's quick to make. It's delicious to eat. My kids really like it. And we did a little book trailer when the book came out. And at the end of filming it, the videographer asked my kids, you know, what their favorite recipes are. I mean, she didn't specify favorite recipes in the book, and they're 6 and 4, so I'll give them a little pass. But the two of them proceeded to list like a dozen things that are not you know, in the book. And I'm like, can we all just get on brand here? Like, this yeah. is a, they're like, hot fudge sundaes and hot dogs and potato chips. And, you know, like, thanks, guys.
So there's a little tip in this fried rice thing, which I think a lot of people don't know, and that's to use what kind of rice?
Old rice.
Old rice. Day-old rice.
Day-old rice.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
you want it to dry out a little bit, because if you use fresh rice, it's just going to get gummy. Mm. So, you know, and also, I don't know if you know this, but, and maybe the listeners don't either, you can freeze cooked rice and it freezes beautifully. So, that's another case where, like, if you think you might want fried rice next week, you know, and you're making steamed rice for something else, just make a double batch and pop half of it in the freezer.
On to the sweet section. Well, we can zero in on this quote. Not any of the chocolate chip cookies I buy in any stores anywhere, even close to mine, end quote. You staking a reputation on these chocolate chip cookies.
I am. And, you know, I have to give my wife credit for this recipe, because she really, she loves chocolate chip cookies. We all love chocolate chip cookies, but she really workshopped that recipe. And so that has her hands all over it. And I felt like a little, at first, like, you know, does the world need another chocolate chip cookie recipe? Like, should I really put this in the book? But I would say, almost more than anything else, there is always chocolate chip cookie dough in our freezer. Mm-hmm. And I think that our cookies are better than, you know, 99% of the ones that I have out there. So I think there is, you know, there's something to this recipe. And there's also something to using good chocolate. And so I recommend in the book Guittard Chocolate, which is a local chocolate maker, local to San Francisco, that is. And they're celebrating their 150th anniversary this year. And for a brand that's widely available and not terribly expensive, I think they make delicious chocolate and chocolate chips. You may also notice that I put a lot of recipes call for 12 ounces of chips, which I just don't think is enough. So I put in a full pound.
Excellent.
Which, yes, means you need to buy two bags. But then what you should really do is buy three bags, because then you have enough chocolate chips for two batches.
The home economist.
See? Just here to help.
You and both John are big fans of Pavlova. I notice you're demoing that tomorrow with lime curd. And that recipe's in the book. You turned me on to Pavlova.
Yeah. And it's... very exotic, but yeah, tell people what Pavlova is.
So it's a dessert. It's actually named after a Russian ballerina. And this is the way that I would like to be remembered, you know, not with a hospital wing or, you know, like, not with an elementary school, but with a dessert. So it's a meringue that's crispy on the outside and a little, you know, sort of chewy on the inside. And then oftentimes topped with a lemon or lime curd and then whipped cream and fruit. And the beauty of this recipe is that you can vary the fruit. So, you know, in the wintertime, I've done like popped cranberries in like a sugar syrup. I've done mangoes and toasted coconut and pineapple, you know, in the dead of winter when you need something sort of bright and fresh. This time of year, you know, strawberries, blueberries, and then as summer progresses, you know, peaches and plums. And it looks beautiful. It looks really impressive. It's not terribly difficult to make. And it's also, if you're a person that doesn't eat gluten, it happens to be gluten-free, which is just incidental, but it's nice because it feels like a celebration dessert that's not like, oh, this is lacking a thing, you know?
I know not to get on the wrong side of Jessica, because if I do, then I'm going to receive a scathing letter, just like the Cozy Shack rice pudding people
that
did
was funny.
From you.
I don't know how old I was when I wrote that, but we had gotten store-bought. I went through a period as a kid where I would write a lot of, you know, food makers about things. I was a big writer. I had a lot of pen pals, and then I would reach out to these companies with my, like, you know, comments. And I had gotten some Cozy Shack rice pudding or tapioca pudding that didn't have enough tapioca pearls in it. And so I wrote them a letter, and they, you know, someone in their corporate division wrote me back and gave me some coupons. And when I was writing the book, my editor said, like, please tell me you still have a copy of that letter. And I was like, well, you know, my parents do have what we call the Garage Mahal with lots of things in it. But I think that letter, unfortunately, is not one of them.
Well, you're serious about your rice pudding is the point.
I'm serious about my rice pudding. And I actually think pudding, you know, it gets sort of a bad rap as like a sort of homely kind of dessert. But this one is like what you want rice pudding to taste like.
It's one of our faves.
So delicious. And like, I'd make it with a little bit of half and half and an egg yolk to add a little richness. And that's another one. Like in the book, I top it with some citrus supremes and pistachios. But you could, it's fine unadorned or with any, you know, seasonal fruit.
So you're brave. the perfect tart tatin.
I know, I'm using a lot of superlatives on these desserts. Yeah. But, you know, there aren't that many desserts in the book. There's probably 16 mm-hmm. out of, you know, 75 recipes in the book. So I put a lot of thought into the ones that I included. And the tart tatin is another one that I learned when I was at La Varenne. And again, I feel like it's a dessert that I have had versions of that, you know, fall short, you know, where it's apples sort of coated in like a sort of pale caramel or with like a crummy pastry crust. And Anne Willen's method has you make a dark caramel and then, you know, sort of just at the point that you're worried that the caramel is getting too dark, you add the apples and the heat causes the juices from the apples to come out in the pan and then they sort of soak up the caramel. So they really become like these translucent sort of apple jewels and all of that apple liquid, you know, becomes part of the caramel sauce.
Well, it's a beautiful recipe and it's a beautiful photographs also accompany it. We'll be back and one of you will win an autographed copy of this brand new beautiful cookbook.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk KSRO 103.5 94.5.
Michael O'Shea, president of Amaturo Sonoma Media and KSRO here, an avid golfer. We are blessed to have the world's best golfing weather here in Sonoma County. Crisp mornings, sunny days, and delightful twilight. My favorite golf club is Oakmont. Two great courses, a par 72, great for the experienced player, and a shorter par 63, ideal for seniors, beginners, or golfers who just want to work on the short game. Both with stunning panoramic views of the beautiful Valley of the Moon and the rolling hills of Sonoma wine country. Folks, this is world-class golf. If you're serious about your passion, it's a great time to join with Oakmont Summer Member Drive through September. Unlimited golf at just $249 per month. And get this, the usual $500 initiation is waived when you say, KSRO sent me. Golf when you want it, priority tee times, and now a summer special. Sonoma County's most scenic 36-hole golf club. Go to oakmontgc.com or tell your smartphone to
call Oakmont Golf Club in Santa Rosa.
Stan Klaus, Crandall Roofing here, reminding you that not all roofs are built the same. You know, as consumers, we're used to buying a ready-made product off the shelf or out of the showroom. We expect that the product will be inspected at the factory and that one model is like all the other models of its kind. Problem with this thinking is roofs are not assembled at the factory. Roofs are shipped to your site in pieces, and then the pieces are custom assembled to fit your home. And every home is a little different. How all those thousands of parts are installed is critical to how well the roof holds out water initially and how long the roof lasts. So if you're thinking of re-roofing soon, why not hire a company that's factory certified, fully licensed and insured, with thousands of satisfied customers in Sonoma and Marin County? In short, why not just call Crandall Roofing for all your roofing needs? You can reach us at 586-2500. That's 586-2500, or find us at crandallroofing.com.
Crandall Roofing is a diamond certified roofing company.
Right now, buy Ortho's Home Defense Insect Killer with Wand at the Home Depot and get a free refill. Good news for you, final notice for bugs. Home Defense kills bugs where they live, where you live, and prevents new ones from moving in, all for up to 12 months. Remember, it's your house. You make the rules. Get a free refill when you purchase Ortho Home Defense with Wand at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 2 per customer in store only. Selection varies by store.
We're going to ask you your favorite number between 1 and 12, please, Jessica.
8.
Caller number 8 at 636-1350 will win an autographed copy of Jessica Batalana's Repertoire, brand new cookbook, all the recipes you need. That's caller number 8. And you can read your column in the San Francisco Chronicle.
That's right. Twice a month in the Chronicle.
Thank you for coming up to Santa Rosa.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this wonderful book. You will cook from this book.
You will cook from this book.
Yeah.
That's probably the most important thing we need to say about
this
book.
It is a book meant to be cooked from.
Well, thanks for writing it.
Thank you so much.
John Ash, we'll see you next week. We're going to go to Cuba next week.
That's right. I can't wait.
Well, we are going to explore the cuisine of Cuba with a brand new beautiful book. Have a wonderful week. Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour return next Saturday. I'm Steve Garner. This is KSRO in Santa Rosa.
FM News Talk KSRO. K278CD Santa Rosa. K233CN Petaluma.
Lies along the Texas coast. This morning, people who live there got a noisy reminder of that.
Just before 11 in the morning, 250 people were at work inside the Karari Evol plant here in Pasadena when a valve on a piece of equipment failed. There was an explosion and a brief fire. Four different entities are involved and the number of injuries is in dispute. But Karari says everyone has been accounted for and none of the injuries is expected to be life-threatening. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Pasadena, Texas.
Schools in Santa Fe, Texas will be closed on Monday and Tuesday as the community tries to come to terms with yesterday's deadly high school shooting. Congressman Randy Weber.
This is a tough time. We've got a hurting community. We've got people who've lost loved ones, some of them students, some adults. We are going to pull through this.
Officials now say two of the 10 people killed were teachers, eight were students, 13 people were wounded. The alleged shooter is in solitary confinement. Melania Trump is home from the hospital after being treated for a benign kidney problem this week. Well, they've tied the knot.
It's now official. Meghan Markle is the first American to receive the title Her Royal Highness. She will be known as the Duchess of Sussex. Her husband, Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, following a ceremony that was both traditional and unconventional. The crowds, 100,000 people along the long walk up to Windsor Castle, cheering on big screens. The Archbishop of Canterbury declaring Meghan and Harry officially husband and wife. They also cheered in person as the couple rode by in their horse-drawn